You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
You're listening to the smooth night sounds of the Liberty Cats. You Hepcats and Swing Kittens, pull up your beanbag. Put on your beret, grab that electric pipe, put on that smoking jacket, and put your cat in your lap, because it's time for your daily injection of furry love. Now here's the granddaddies of hip and everything cool, Ryan Hagen and Taryn P. Lupo.
Well, no smoking jacket again for me today. Instead, I am wearing my robe. I do prefer my robe over my smoking jacket most of the time because, well, it just seems roomier, Taryn, and I like the little belt, you know, that little belt you get to tie. That's just so much fun.
I always over-tie that thing and can't get it off. Like, oh. One knot won't hold it. It'll fall down. But if you do two knots or three knots, it'll hold, but then you can't open it.
Have you ever heard what Jim Gaffigan, the stand-up comic, calls bathrobe belts?
No. Go ahead. Tell us the story.
He calls them toilet belts because they always end up falling in the toilet.
Gross. You're right. You're on the floor.
They always do. The other thing about wearing a robe like I do, the sleeves are so darn long. If I'm eating anything with gravy, I always end up getting gravy all over my sleeves. It's horrible. So
really?
Yeah.
After you're eating gravy that you need. I want to know. Do you have just like gravy in a bowl? And you're eating?
Yeah, I'm like sipping on it, man. I'm sipping on the gravy.
Like Homer Simpson, you're just reaching in there with a robe on.
Just scooping it out with my hands. No, the robe is so, the sleeve is so long, you know, not lengthwise, but the way it comes down, it has like this droopiness. So like if you go reaching for the bacon over your bowl of gravy, suddenly you're like gravy arm, and then your belt's in the toilet. It's a mess.
I used to wear a suit every day back when I was a chiropractor, and all the time, man, your tie would come out and fall into your whatever you're eating.
Yes.
Or your and you know, that's really expensive. It ain't no sweatshirt to get a suit cuff clean.
Exactly, man. It's not like throwing the robe in the washing machine.
You can just pretty much count on, if you had something like a favorite suit, it was going to get ruined.
So you wore it.
You had to take everything off and roll up your sleeves to eat and wear like a bib.
It seems
I might
like,
as well just wear a surgical gown to eat.
Yeah, because it seems like so much work to me. And you wore a tie every day. Do you hate ties as much as I hate ties?
Yeah. Well, I made it better because there got to a point, like my first couple years in practice, I was trying to get people to take me serious. I was young and I was, you know, a new doctor in town. Then the last couple years, I just didn't give a damn anymore. And I started wearing any tie I wanted. So, you know, I would bring out the 80s piano tie or a picture of Elvis on my tie, or, you know, doing – or the Three Stooges. Like, my ties got stupider and stupider just to entertain myself.
And, nice.
I had this massive tie collection of novelty ties, you know, just like the fish ties or whatever. So you go into this doctor and he's wearing a fish tie. It's like, yeah, I'm going to need $10,000 to take this case, but, you know, I'm wearing a fish tie.
Here's my problem with ties. I'm a real sweaty fellow, and some people are like, oh, it's because you're so fat. It's not that. I always have. Even when I was, like, skinny at one point in my life, I've always just been sweating. Like, I guess you call it hot-blooded. Like, if it's hot, man, if even slightly warm, I have to have short sleeves on because I just get sweaty and it's dripping off my hair. And
you the guy that's shoveling snow in shorts?
Oh, yeah. That's me. Yeah. Shorts and flip-flops, man, because otherwise I'm working up this nasty sweat and I'm uncomfortable and it's awful. So when I wear a tie, having all that extra material around my neck, it just, all of a sudden, like, my neckband is all wet and just gooey, slick, and nasty from all my sweat. So I stay away from ties as much as possible.
I will tell you a strange thing, though. When you do wear a suit, people treat you completely different.
They do, don't they?
Yeah, and you feel different, actually. You feel like, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're a step above, a higher class of, you know, like... It's so ridiculous. You put it on and you're like, oh, I'm wearing a suit. I'm important. You know?
Like,
even though you're not at all.
Well, and
your mind pretends you are, but you could be homeless and wear a suit and people will treat you good.
You are so right. And it's funny, Taryn. I just a quick story. I've been noticing some discrimination in my life. Ever since I grew my beard out and started wearing a cowboy hat everywhere, people treat me differently. They treat me like I'm dumb. I'm noticing this more and more.
I sometimes have a Southern accent, and people treat you like you're pretty much retarded. That's a Southern accent that I couldn't possibly be intelligent.
Exactly. Which is so funny because the Southern accent is actually a direct descendant of the British accent, and that's where that accent came from. So it's anything but dumb. But it's funny the stereotypes that we live up to and continue to live with each and every day and continue to spread. I know a few times in the last month or so, I've gone into stores, and for example, Sally's Beauty Supply is a good example of that. I don't think they see a lot of dudes come in cowboy hats with huge beards. I went in, I was buying some lotion for my mom. She sent me in.
I'm sure that's what it was for.
Yeah, it was lotion for my mom. I had to have some lotion for her skin. Yeah, because she gets a little redness. No, it wasn't for me at all. Wasn't at all for my lonely drunken nights. No, it was for my mom. So anyway, I'm in the store, and just the way the lady talked to me. You know, I was supposed to have a discount because the last time my mom was in there, something on the receipt. The woman is talking to me like I'm just the dumbest person in the world. And I'd been in Sally's a million times before, but not with my cowboy hat and beard, and no one ever talked to me like this. So it just, and then I know that correlation isn't always causation or however that scientific phrase
goes.
Right. But
I get treated different with a beard. The beard does something. I have really sensitive skin, so I can barely shave without breaking out.
Mm-hmm.
So I only shave once in a while. I'll shave it off like every year and go maybe a couple weeks with no beard. And then I grow it because I'm lazy and I can't stand shaving.
Right.
And I was walking my dogs, and I had a hoodie. And I put my hoodie up, and it was kind of sunny, so I had my sunglasses on, and I had this beard. And these women were just going to the other side of the street and avoiding me.
Really?
And I had one woman walk towards me and actually stop and turn her dogs and walk the opposite direction. I guess I just look like a killer or the Unabomber or something.
It is so weird.
I can't wear sunglasses or a hoodie without being a criminal.
And see, I wear sunglasses, I have the full beard, and I have my cowboy hat on. Some people say I look like Hank Jr., but others think I must look like just sort of a – and you know in their head, and this is what really saddens me. You know in their head they're probably also thinking that I'm some sort of a racist, you know, some backwoods racist sort of hillbilly. And I am a hillbilly. I consider myself that. I think it's a compliment. But it doesn't make me some sort of a evil-minded, Klan cross-burning racist, which I think is ingrained in the mind of so many people when they see a cowboy hat and a beard.
Well, is there any – black singers in country music?
There are, as a matter of fact. Not a lot. There was a gal a few years ago who tried to break through. She just wasn't very good. And then there was a guy some years back. He had a couple of hits. But Charlie Pride will always probably be the number one. Oh, well, and what am I saying? Darius Rucker, man, formerly of Hootie and the Blowfish. He's huge. Yeah.
It's country?
Yes. He has gone full-on country music. It's modern country, but he did do a nice twist on the great song Wagon Wheel from, I can't think, it's a bluegrass group that does it, written by Bob Dylan originally. He did a really nice version, took it to number one on the radio charts, which is interesting because there's a line in there about taking a toke, and he didn't even censor that. He left it right in there, so I thought that was kind of cool. But yeah, he's a big name in country music. Charlie Pride, whom I met, very arrogant man, didn't like him at all. But you're right. I mean, overall, there aren't a lot of black singers in country music for whatever reason.
All right, so you've met a ton of celebrities.
Yeah.
Who was the biggest jerk?
Biggest jerk of a celebrity I ever met? Toby Keith.
Really?
Yeah, Toby Keith. And it wasn't so much that he was the jerk. It was the fact I used to go to this event every year called Country Radio Seminar. It's a really cool thing. It's like in late February, early March. It's at the Downtown Convention and Visitors Center in Nashville. And what happens is all of the country music artists come there along with the record labels, and then radio comes. And you have a bunch of different seminars. And it's really kind of neat because you're not fans. You're all in the same industry, you know? So it's not rare to see Kenny Chesney in an elevator, and you're like, hey, Kenny, how you doing? He's like, I'm good, you know? And it's like that. There's no fandom. There's no fanboy-ishness going on at all, except for Toby Keith, who created it himself. We're all sitting around. There's this bar in the hotel attached to the Convention and Visitors Bureau Center thing. And everybody gets up there. All the DJs go up there with the record labels, and they're buying each other drinks and committing a lot of payola and plugola. And while they're doing this, a lot of stars will come in too and kind of hang out with you on the side. Well, most of them just come in and they might buy you a drink. You'll sit down. And I remember one year I sat down and talked with Leanne Rimes and her then husband. Nice people, just regular people, having a conversation and a drink. But here comes Toby Keith, and he's surrounded by bodyguards. And without anyone even getting near him, the bodyguards are yelling, "Stand back, everyone. Stand back, everyone. You got to clear the way, everyone." And it's like, well, screw you. You know, I didn't even want to, A, see Toby Keith, and B, we're not even trying to get close to the guy. So who are you clearing the way for, you jackhole?
So the bodyguards are yelling at other stars bigger than Toby Keith.
Yeah.
Out of the way.
Yeah.
They're like, just, Garth Brooks, get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Coming through. Do you know who this is? It's Toby Keith. And I would say that was probably the worst. John Rich of Big and Rich was a close second, although we scared him. I think he pooped himself on the elevator. I'll tell you that story, Taryn, when we come back on the other side of the break. I also once met, I'll tell you who. Hang on for that story. That's coming up with the Liberty Cats right here on Daily Paul Radio on the other side. Use the litter box if you have to. I am right now.
We're so going to get sued.
In a world where freedom is fun and everything you thought you knew is wrong, two unlikely voices rose up from the noise. From the minds that brought you Fajita Fun Time and Wheels Off Liberty comes the Liberty Cats. Darren P. Lupo and Brian Hagen are just in time to save us all.
And we are saving you from yourselves, dear friends. We're just like the federal government. We're here to make sure that you're not doing anything fun, but instead are hammered down to the Liberty Cats radio show. I'm Brian Hagen, along with my old compadre,
Taryn B. Lupo.
And we were talking right before the break about this event I used to go to each and every year called Country Radio Seminar, where all the record labels and all the artists in country music come together with all of the disc jockeys from the radio stations and have a lot of different seminars and talk together and kind of come up with ideas on, you know, ways to spread the genre. And you have to sit through like a speech on, and this is when you look at the Arbitron rating as compared to this rating. And then when you go back 20 years as compared to, let's look at the future numbers, and it's just really a bunch of boring nonsense. And I went just to get drunk, basically, and wander the streets of Nashville, which I did with these two Oklahoma boys. I mean, for those of you who remember Wheels Off Liberty, you know how dumb Mike and Jamie are. Well, these two guys were probably about as bad, but boy, were they fun boys. They were twins. And we started walking all over the streets trying to find us some marijuana. We end up at some hotel miles away where the guy claimed to be in radio. You knew he wasn't. He ends up getting in a fight in a parking garage. And it was just the most fun night of my life. I come back to the fancy schmancy hotel. I'm knocking on the wrong door. My boss finds me down the hallway, passed out. It was fantastic. And yeah, Taryn, there was a lot of celebrities there. And I've met a lot of big names. And I had told you going into the break about Toby Keith and his bodyguards. And
I want to ask you one question and cut you off.
Yeah, please.
I never understood this. How can they tell how many people are listening to you on the air? Like, I get it now with us because we're podcasting over the internet or streaming, and you can count the numbers of people that come in. How do you know who's listening on a general radio, and where do they even pull these ratings from? They're just making this stuff up?
No, it's not made up, as a matter of fact. You've heard of the Nielsen ratings for television, of course, where households are selected. It's exactly the same way. The Arbitron rating, which is the main rating for listenership in radio, they randomly select households across the United States. They send you this little diary, And you, if you're selected, you fill out this diary on what you're listening to, why you liked what you heard, what you don't like what you heard, what station you were listening to. And that's how they get their ratings. It's put together through the average of these households that fill out the little book.
I did not know that. I just thought they were just pulling these numbers up, and they're like, hey, we're up 10%. Yeah, we are.
Well, to be honest with you, that's really the way the radio stations themselves do it. I would say that most radio stations do kind of make up those numbers. I've been guilty of it myself. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, if you say something like this, say you're trying to book a really good guest, like, oh, Mary Ann from Gilligan's Island, whom I've interviewed. You're talking to their publicist, right?
And top echelon there.
Well, exactly. They ask you this question, and it's a question they always ask is, what is your listenership? And I always use the number 65,000 per quarter hour. Now, that was actually based on some real numbers, but I don't know exactly where those real numbers came from, but somebody in the sales department told me that was the number to use, so I always said 65,000 per quarter hour. If it was right, it was right. If it was wrong, I still got the interviews I was looking for, so whatever. And those guests had the best time of their lives. It was a lot better than that Billy Bush jackhole on TV they have to hang out with half the time, so I know I still steered him in the right direction. But you asked me who the worst celebrity in country music was, and like I said, that was Toby Keith. And then there was the night when, well, do you remember Big and Rich, Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy?
Okay, I know the song.
Yeah, that was like their big one. They went on to some other things, but John Rich, who's the founder of Big and Rich, he's also a music producer, and he's real blingy. He likes to fly around in a helicopter and wear fur coats and gold chains and hangs out at strip clubs in Nashville with Kid Rock. They both got arrested there like 6 years ago for starting a fight with the DJ. Anyway, John Rich, I don't know. I mean, lawsuit be damned. He's a very arrogant person. He's a very arrogant guy. He's on Fox News a lot. They call in John Rich for some reason on Fox News on some of the like Saturday evening shows like Huckabee. He'll have John Rich on to talk about John Rich's take on the economy for whatever reason. So anyway, he just really thinks a lot of himself. And the guys I was with, we were just wasted. We had been going to industry parties inside this hotel. We were stealing bottles of freaking booze and hiding it in our suit coats, and we're eating food in the hallway, you know, that people have discarded, the hallway food, which those stars throw out some really good food, by the way. So we're eating that. We're at the elevator. We press the button, and the elevator door opens, and out comes John Rich. Or at least he tried to come out. We're going, hey, John, what are you doing on the elevator, buddy? Whoa. And somebody goes, wow, John, you sure look shorter in real life than you do on TV. And there's like all of a sudden this group of radio guys I'm with, they're just hurling insults at John Rich. He won't even talk to us. Before we even have a chance to get on the elevator, he pushes the button and takes off to another floor. Wouldn't even deal with us. And he's really short. And yeah, man, you look even shorter in real life.
I'm sure he loves that. Oh, loves it.
Oh, God. Well, he's got little man syndrome anyway. It's real obvious.
Well, you know, this society's kind of jerky about that.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading this study, and I don't know if you remember that book that came out, Freakonomics, in the 2000s.
I have it. I have it on my bookshelf right here.
And a big thing they talk about is online dating in there, about how the things that kill are different compared to what gender you are. So men are really hung up on women's weight. Women are really hung up on men's height.
Mm-hmm, very.
Like, short guys can't get a date to save their life.
I'm 5'7", Taryn. I know.
And you're right at the cutoff, man. I think it's like 5'5 and under is mm-hmm. – It's tough, and I just had no idea that height was such a big deal to women, but apparently it is. And the poor guys, it's like, what can you do about that? You can't – I mean, I can lose weight. How do you get taller?
You can't. I mean, unless you're wearing freaking platform shoes, you know.
Yeah, bionic legs or something.
I will say this, though. Cowboy boots and a cowboy hat makes you look much taller. That's just a little trick and a tip.
I used to wear cowboy boots out dancing. I used to back when I lived in Atlanta – I had a life where I was a dancer in school. It's kind of a secret. I don't tell that many people. But
wow.
In chiropractic school, I used to be a dance instructor, like ballroom dance. And at the time, swing dancing was super huge.
Oh, yeah.
97, 98, 99.
Yeah, that's like when BR549 and all those type of groups had come out. Yeah.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddies came back and all that. So I was making a lot of money teaching swing dancing. It was all over the place. And one of the things I couldn't do very good was country dance. So I started going to this gigantic bar in Atlanta called Cowboys. And you would, you know, of course, throw on the cowboy boots and go dancing. And, man, it's really hard to dance in cowboy boots.
Oh, boy.
I was like 2 inches up. I was like, I kept stumbling and falling. And but country girls are so cute, though.
Oh, boy. Gosh. Are they ever? I love a country cutie. I really do.
They really do. It's something about a little hat and a little hairdo. It's really cute.
Do you know what my dream woman is, Taryn Lupo? Here, I'm going to say it right here on the Liberty Cat. So, boys and girls, gather together, and you're going to hear once and for all what Brian Hagan's true beauty is. A girl who dresses country, wears like the short shorts and the cowboy boots, but also isn't afraid to have a little bit of a gothy emo touch, like with the multicolored hair, you know, and maybe some black mascara. That, my friend, is my favorite look in the world, and it's very, very hard and rare to come by.
I've never heard of an emo country, goth, whatever.
They exist. Oh, they exist.
They do. So, what do they have their own music genre? There's country goth. I mean,
actually, there is a whole goth country movement. I'm really active and involved in it. Yeah,
You must tell us about this. I think you're making this up.
No, I'm not at all. It's called
this
death.
Is like when you tricked me into going to the furry movement.
It's called death country, man. And Taryn, I still apologize for the whole furry movement thing. I'm sorry.
You told me everybody at Porkfest dresses like a giant unicorn. And when I did, nobody was in the party dressed as a furry. I was the only guy. I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
But you got to admit, once you found the other furry, that night was beautiful.
Yeah, and the costume feels really nice.
It does. It's soft and supple. there is death country. And it's what I love. And Taryn B. Lupo, I'll tell you what, we're not going to break copyright because I know this guy personally, and he wouldn't mind if I play a snip of his song. We're going to do it coming back on the other side of this break as we educate you in all things but liberty with the Liberty Cats on Daily Paul Radio. So hang on.
Meow.
Scratch myself.
Hi, this is Taryn Lupo from Liberty Cats. I've been buying gold and silver for over 20 years. I've made some good buys and I've made some poor buys. Most of the time, the prices and markups were too high from the companies I found. Other times, I was tricked into buying fake gold and silver. There's a large learning curve to becoming a good buyer when you're trying to figure it out all on your own. The good news is I finally found someone I trust who is affordable and private. For the last few years, I've only purchased my precious metals from Roberts & Roberts. They make it easy, fast, and discreet. Everything I've ever purchased has been excellent quality at an excellent price. I publicly vouch for the folks at Roberts & Roberts that they'll give you a square deal. Right now, prices on silver are ridiculously low, and it's a great time to buy. Check out Roberts & Roberts.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grand Wizards of Funk, the Liberty Cats. These hip caps know how to drop such a furry and funk-tastic rhythm, you'll be solid all night long. You jive hustlers, go get your boots on, flip your grip, and be swelling it to each other. Now, here's the bucket from Nantucket, Brian Hagan, and Lothario from Ontario, Taryn P. Lupo.
And there's nobody like these Liberty Cats on the radio, that's for sure. I am Brian Hagan, along with the old cat scratcher himself.
Taryn P. Lupo, meow.
Meow, my dear friend. I am back out of the old litter box, feeling nice and clean. Been cleaning behind my ears and licking myself, and I feel good. And before we went into the break, we were talking about, well, you were out country line dancing. I was talking about goth girls who dress like country girls that you say don't exist. And then I explained to you that there's a whole genre of country music called death country or goth Americana, depending upon who you ask. And Taryn, I'm just going to play you just a real quick snippet of these guys, like 5 seconds worth. They're a group called Those Poor, and their last name means illegitimate son. And Those Poor, Illegitimate Son they've actually written some stuff. Hank 3 himself has recorded their stuff. Lonesome Wyatt's the lead singer. I've seen him in concert. I had just what you would call a cosmic religious meltdown. So. So all about taking pills and staying up for 8 days straight. A lot of stuff about drinking and the fact that we'll never be redeemed in life. Those are the themes of this thing called Death Country or Goth Americana, Taran B. Lupo. It's the music I live on.
That was it. I just never even, I guess, what is that rule that if it exists, there's porn of it somewhere?
Yeah, that's a rule. Is it 37?
I can't remember. I think that's it. So it's probably like that with music. If music exists, there's some sort of mashup.
Yeah, I mean, there's always subgenres of subgenres, and that's what I'm really into. That's what I love, and it's so hard for me because I say I love country music, but it's not what you hear on the radio. Before we move on, I know we got a lot to talk about, some very important topics in Liberty as we talk TV tonight on the Liberty Cast, but I did want to say probably one of the highlights of whom I've ever met, Taran P. Lupo, because we were talking about celebrities I met in country music, Dwight Yoakam. I loved meeting Dwight Yoakam. That was phenomenal, standing next to Dwight and getting my picture taken. But a lot of people don't realize, for those who follow me on Facebook, know that I have an obsession with Taylor Swift. I've met Taylor Swift like 5 or 6 times.
That explains everything.
And the thing was, it was just business as usual. It's like, you come in, you go through this cattle call of a line, you stand next to him, get your picture taken. So didn't even have a chance to like think about it at the moment. But boy, I think back on it now and I'm like, how great that was, standing next to that powerful, overpowering, tall beauty of a woman, Taylor Swift.
Well, is she look the same in real life?
Yes.
Like, when I've met celebrities in real life, I barely recognize them.
No, it looked just like, well, she was getting ready to go on stage. Oh, so okay. Keep that in mind. This is right. This is a meet and greet, will call sort of thing that you're going and they're going on stage. So they're all made up.
I had a thing for Jane Seymour when I was a kid. I liked Jane Seymour.
Me too.
And, you know, I think she was doing the Dr. Quinn thing at that time. After Battlestar Galactica. I liked her in Battlestar Galactica. And then what happened was I was riding this elevator with her. And I didn't realize it was her when I walked in. And then I looked and I was like, I just sat there. And I felt like one of those stupid starstruck people. Just sat there. She looked at me real uncomfortable and then left. And I was like, oh, man, what did I do?
You're totally fanboying
on
her.
I was that guy. I was so embarrassed. She was actually kind of rude, so it kind of was like, eh.
How expected her.
You know, she knows. She should have known who I was and thrown herself at me.
Absolutely. You're Taran P. Lupo.
She knew from all the letters I sent her.
I was going to say, all the letters with pieces of your fingernails and hair attached? Sure. She had to know who you were. How'd you get on an elevator with Jane Seymour?
I was staying at a very nice hotel in Memphis, and it's apparently where all the stars stayed. So I actually met Isaac Hayes, too, which I'm a huge fan of Isaac Hayes. And his daughter tried picking me up when I was there. She was really cute. one of his 50 children from 7 different women.
You didn't do it, man? Man, I would have done it just to say I did Isaac Hayes' daughter.
I was still married. It sucked. She found out I was married, and I was like, and that was over.
That's too bad. See, if I ever get married, there's going to be a rule.
Isaac Hayes?
Anyone even slightly related to any celebrity, it can be like a fifth cousin removed, and that's gonna be in my little prenup. So listen up, ladies who are interested in dating me. You got to share your time with anyone even slightly related to a celebrity. Speaking of celebrities, speaking of Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, you know, Taran P. Lupo, the thing about us is we're not going to sit here and say, turn off your TV, friends, because it's a major distraction from everything going on in the world, and that's exactly how they're brainwashing you. No, we're not going to do that. We actually watch TV. We enjoy TV. So I would like to introduce this little segment with what you been TVing on.
Well, currently I've been watching Walking Dead, which does have some, since we haven't talked about Liberty yet in, what are we, a minute 40?
Yeah, I think so.
It does have some interesting Liberty twists in it as far as, you know, what would happen to society if rules and cops went away. So that part's pretty cool. But I think there's a lot of fans of Walking Dead. So that's nothing that special. I would much rather prefer to hear what you are going to be watching on.
Okay, what I like to watch on there on the old TV is this show called Welcome to Myrtle Manor. Now, I'll tell you, there are a lot of liberty themes in Welcome to Myrtle Manor because you've got your hardcore tyrant of a trailer park manager who's always trying to squash the dreams of the clients that live inside the trailer park, because that's what it is. It's a trailer park at Myrtle Beach. And all of these unique characters are highlighted in the show, like the one gal, hot little blonde, who during the first season didn't want to get a job, so she was selling hot dogs down by the beach. Then you have the very flamboyantly gay beauty salon owner named Roy, that it doesn't appear that anybody in the trailer park understands that Roy is gay. They just think like he's like Liberace. Remember how people used to look at Liberace? Oh, he's not gay. He's just flamboyant, you know?
Oh, man, let me tell you, because I got fooled all the time. When I was, watching Boy George when I grew up, I thought that was just some sort of act.
Me too.
I didn't realize I was watching a gay guy. And then I found out, like, everybody I liked was gay in the 80s, practically.
Yeah, because mom and
music I like.
Mom and dad were
no idea.
Well, it's like I love the song One Night in Bangkok by Murray Head, and I didn't realize that song's all about homosexual activity in Bangkok, Thailand, you know?
Oh, it's about playing chess.
Right, because it comes from the theater production Chess.
It is. They're playing chess in the video.
Right, exactly.
Did you remember when videos came out that actually had nudity in them?
Yes.
Like, they had Duran videos with topless girls in it.
Yes.
Censored.
They were the ones that you would buy those VHS tapes. They weren't the ones they showed on MTV, but yeah, they had the uncensored ones that you could actually purchase. Yeah, man, videos were.
That's how I got them, because I remember telling my friends, I was like, oh, man, there's, you got to see, her name is Rio, and they were like, what are you talking about? We watched it, and it's just a girl in a bikini. I was like, no, that makes sense. My brother's probably got the dirty video.
Yeah, you could go to Musicland or Sam Goody, and you could buy them, the uncensored ones. They had them hanging on a wall. I remember it very, very clearly. But yeah, you really need to check out Welcome to Myrtle Manor. We're talking some real high quality, high art sort of television viewing. I don't even know what night it's on, but I think it's on the Learning Channel, right along with that other vestige of pure brilliance. Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah, and I've never taken the chance to watch that because, all these are such good Liberty shows.
Yeah, they are.
Liberty-oriented shows.
Really, when you break down Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, it's very Liberty-oriented. The parents are in control of their children, or barely in control of their children. You're not seeing any state involvement, even though these children are living in complete filth and squalor.
Are they homeschooled? Is the kid homeschooled?
Yeah, I've never seen one of these kids leave for school, so I'm assuming they're homeschooled.
Yeah, they probably make too much money to go to school.
Yeah.
I think once you start becoming an actor, you stop.
Right, going to school. Like the one little girl, she's 12 or 13, her name is Pumpkin. And, Pumpkin, she sits around, she does pumpkin sort of things. And yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about the quality on today's television. If you just take a few moments and sit down and watch these quality shows, you're going to walk away mesmerized and just realize how wonderful humanity truly is.
That's true. It does make you look and go, man, my family's not as screwed up as I thought.
Exactly right.
Because everybody thinks their family's the worst and most screwed up, and then you realize, I guess I'm too hard on my parents. I need to be better.
I think you actually bring up a good point there. I think those type of shows are very cathartic for that very reason. I think that's why we enjoy them as a society. I don't think it's just because we like things that are trashy. I think we like things that make us feel better about ourselves. And as long as we're not living, and of course, so much of it is staged, as we know. I was on a reality show one time.
What?
I know how staged they were. Yeah, that's
Cheaters?
No, it wasn't Cheaters.
Cheaters.
Oh, no, that would be perfect for me. It was a show called Airline.
Oh, on A&E. I think it came out for like one season, right?
Three seasons. Yes, it was on A&E. You're the first person in the last 5 years I've mentioned it to that you actually know that Airline existed.
I did. I remember the ads for it. They were trying to make well, tell us, how did you ever get on a reality show?
Well, what happened was when I was working with the CARE Morning Wake Up Crew, which was the morning show I did for 15 years out of Atchison, Kansas at 93.7 FM, the radio station owners were getting ready to sell the radio station, and we didn't know that. And to make up for that fact, they nominated us to be on that show because we had been nominated for a Marconi Award, which is kind of like the Oscars of the radio world. You're competing against all these other stations across America, and it was in San Diego. So the owner of the station nominated us, got us on there, which got us free plane flights on Southwest because they were the sponsor of that show. It was really a big commercial for Southwest Airlines, and they got us on the show. So we had to wear microphones and do all that, and then we had camera crews come to the radio station. Then they followed us to the airport, followed us through the airport, followed us to the award ceremony there in San Diego, California, and it was just crazy, Taryn. And like some of the moments, like after we lost, we were all, and I was drunk. Boy, was I drunk. There's like an hour of footage out there of me saying why I didn't mind losing. They just kept rolling tape and laughing and laughing. And from that, like 5 seconds made it onto the final show. But anyway, like we lost. It was like, yeah, whatever, we lost. But the guy had us come back, and he goes, "Hey, guys, you know, I know that this is a bit Hollywood." Yes, he was British. "I know it's a bit Hollywood, but would you mind putting your hands around each other and hanging your heads down like you're very sad?" So we did it, you know, right? Like we're
reality shows are never staged like that.
No, Lord,
it's real
no,
life.
Sure it is. Yeah, I mean, that was an example, and this is really when reality shows were just becoming popular. You had like Survivor, and you had Survivor. That was about it. You didn't have a lot of reality shows outside of MTV, you know, and that was a genre in and of itself. So yeah, I got to see firsthand very early just how fake these things are. Like we're walking through the airport. They didn't like the way we walked through the airport, so we had to go back to the luggage checkout, put our luggage back on the rack, and then get it all again, and then do the entire walk one more time. It was pretty awful when all was said and done, but I sure enjoyed San Diego.
Well, I just can't even imagine. I have you seen the new wave of reality shows, though? The Survivor shows.
Oh, yeah.
Not Survivor, but I mean like the Doomsday Preppers and the Man vs. Wild. And the ones where, like, I watch these, and you're thinking, okay, the cameramen are following these people that are lost in the jungle. Like, that's not really dangerous when you have a whole camera crew and a whole, you know, they got their own nurse and doctor on board, and, you know, they can call a helicopter when they're getting in trouble. So it kind of, you got to remember that they're not in that much danger.
You're right.
They always act like they're starving to death. They're like, "We've gone 2 days without food. I got to kill something and eat it." It's like 2 days, man.
Yeah,
come on.
Exactly. It's 2 days. You know they've been munching on M&Ms. You've got a whole camera crew. What I love on these reality shows is when they suddenly show up at someone's house without that person knowing, yet the camera is inside the house shooting from the outside or the inside out. So therefore, the person in the house being surprised has a camera crew already ready there.
Yeah, that's a perfect explanation. Like, they knock it. Oh, my goodness. Who's there?
Yeah.
You know, and I love how that the cameras are always all over the place, and people try to act like they don't see them.
Exactly. I mean, what did someone sneak in the house, you know, and pull a mic from Breaking Bad and like bug the place up with cameras? No.
For you guys that aren't in the business or anything, you don't realize these camera crews are like 20 people.
Yeah, it's not
it's
just
not like you can hide this.
No,
it's
you can't.
Angry mob.
Yeah, you can't send a leprechaun in with like a hidden camera and he's hiding under the table. You're right, Taryn. It's like, well, you remember on To Catch a Predator when the whole camera crew would come out. There'd be like 50 people. There's boom mics hanging over, you know, and there's huge microphones and like 50 cameras and everything. And yeah, that's how it works. It's not surprise. It's all fake. Everything you see on television is fake in one way or another. So yeah, don't believe it. So now all of a sudden I'm kicking into the everything you see on TV is fake, and they're putting it there just to exploit you so you're not paying attention to the important issues of the day.
Yeah, and that's it. It's all bread and circuses, man.
It is, man.
But also, people demand this. They want to check out a reality. They don't want to take You know, it's like the Matrix. They don't want the red pill. They just want to be entertained, and I'm going to get through this life without making too many waves, going to watch my football, going to eat, and see how far I can get without doing anything really that important. You know, I mean, gosh, that sounds so terrible, but
it's true.
But you devote yourself to 40 years of watching a football team every Sunday. You know, it's like, come on, guys. There's more out there in life than this.
Well, and you know, it's one thing to just enjoy the game. It's this religious ferocity.
I mean, where like you get emotionally crippled when your team loses. You know, you're like, oh, my team lost.
Oh, I have a friend like that. His name is Jim Elias. Now I'm going to put Jim right on the spot. There's been many a time where, it's KU basketball. That's his thing. And he'll invite me out for an evening, right? But KU's also going to be playing. They lose. Rest of the night is shot. We're not doing anything. He's going to sit and drink his beer alone and just cry in his beer, and it's horrible.
I don't understand if you're on the team and you play.
Yeah.
You just watched it. You're not part of the team.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we lost. Whatever. Let's go have some fun. Hey, we're going to be right back. Speaking of fun, your Liberty Cats on the air, Daily Paul Radio, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays. Days you can't go without because we're just so darn good.
Prepare to be annihilated as the Liberty Cats take on Truckzilla, Gravedigger, and the Dutch Oven live at the Terra Dome. The first 10 listeners to buy a ticket will get their own pair of chrome truck nuts. Tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at Daily Paul Radio. That's this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Thursday, Thursday!
That's right, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is the most important days of your week because those are the weeks when I, Brian Hagan, along with
Taryn P. Lubo,
are on the air right here on Daily Paul Radio. Hey, don't forget, we're also on at midnight Eastern Time. So if you missed the first broadcast, you can always go and get yourself stoned or drunk or whatever you want to do and listen to the midnight re-airing of the show.
That's right. For all you people that lost your job, please listen in.
Exactly. Collect them welfare checks and turn on the radio at midnight.
That's right.
Because you got the Liberty Cats. Don't forget, you can also download us. Easy to find. Go to Daily Paul Radio. Hey, it's real simple. Just go to Google, type in Daily Paul and Liberty Cats, and it comes right up for you, people. That's how easy it is. No URL required. Whew, I made that simple, didn't I, Taryn?
Yes, sir. I can't believe we are the number one search on Liberty Cats.
I can't either. It's amazing to me.
We've already occupied and taken over Google.
We have, man. We've conquested the radio waves. We've taken over Google. I don't know what's next, man. I mean, I don't know how much bigger we can get, Taryn.
I'm not sure, really. I mean, or maybe our own reality show, perhaps?
That is what we need. I see it in our future. We were talking earlier about the Honey Boo Boos of the world. We could be like a combination of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo and those duck hunting guys. I'm seeing quality TV, Taryn.
I kind of see it more like Extreme Cheapskates.
I have not seen that show.
Oh, my God. You got to watch the show. It's awesome. These guys like stretch $5 to live on for a month.
That's awesome.
They're just the best. They go to like a buffet and they're like, one buffet and seven plates, and then they invite all their friends to come.
That's fabulous. That sounds exactly how I live my life most of the time.
It's awesome, man. You gotta watch that show.
I will check it out. Extreme Cheapskates. That sounds really good. Hey, don't forget Allison Bricker, she's no cheapskate. Her show's coming up next. And we'll be back next time, dear friends. So make sure you put it on your schedule every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The only thing that you need to be thinking about is the genius of the Liberty Cats. Can't wait to talk to you again. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It means the world to both me and Taryn. It's kind of like scratching a cat behind the ears. We're rolling over right now and exposing our bellies. See you next time.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.